Hey, you have tuned into the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow, where we are so excited to talk about those different topics that can particularly be a little bit more challenging to speak to or speak on. We help you to get to that point, but listen, we want to know what you want to hear. So we are here for you. If you have any topics, any suggestions, anything you just really have on your heart and you want some information about, tag us. Go ahead and hit us a message in our vspotradio@gmail.com, or you can hit us on Instagram. You can also hit us up on Facebook at the Vspot Radio. So please, by all means, we are here. We want to hear from you. This has been the Vspot, your vulnerable space to grow. Vulnerable space to grow. I'm Bessel.
And I'm Camille Veronica.
And it is Friday. And I'm glad about it. Friday. Woo! Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you, if these Fridays are coming fast, mm-hmm. like they are coming quicker and quicker.
My grandmama said, no time of tide, wait for no man.
No who to who?
She said, time nor tide.
Oh, tide.
Wait for no man. I know. Yeah, my accent is funny. You know
wait
what?
For no man. No, it does not. It does not wait. How's your Friday starting off?
Good. Yeah.
You have your water? You drink your water this morning?
I'm drinking it now. And I'm realizing that I sound really crusty if I don't get all that water in before I walk out the door. Yes. So yeah. I'm drinking it now. Yeah.
Get your water in. You already did your bathroom checkup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Things are in order there. Thank you.
Yeah. So we got
everything is in its proper place. Thank you.
Great.
Yes.
You got a long agenda for Friday or you just...
No, I don't so far, and I'm hoping to keep it that way. But it's a pretty even keel. It's a good thing. As soon as we finish recording, I'll be out the door. I'll go for my morning walk, and come back.
You got cousin going for walks with you.
Yes.
You got a walk-in, a traveler with you.
Well, see, here's the thing. When my older sister came into town, all of a sudden my cousin came out the woodwork. She admitted that. She admitted it. It's not me making this up.
Can't get them to do it before, but they got to be.
I've been here and I've been walking, but she ain't do it beforehand. Now she all on it now. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we're going to have to change up our schedule because she starts back to school on Tuesday.
Okay.
And they've got some foolishness in her school. So she got to do it. She's a school counselor. She got to, be there.
Adjust.
Yes. Yeah. Well, she's a counselor, but she's a social worker, but she got to adjust to some foolishness.
Mm. Wow.
Because they're requiring them to come into the actual building, the staff.
Yeah. I guess they try to send these buildings vacant. You know, they still paying rent.
Well, theirs is because during the first part of the quarantine, when children were let out, supposedly some teachers went AWOL.
Oh,
and I guess this is their way of trying to make sure people stay in place. So gotcha. She was like, why didn't y'all just deal with them suckers and leave the rest of us alone? Because we did what we were supposed to do. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we made it past our week. It was still a lot of hiccups throughout the entire system. So I attempt. Yes, you drink that water. I heard it. Did you hear it, everybody? That's the ALS.
No. Oh, Jesus. It's not the ALS.
APA. I hope this isn't a group, and y'all hope y'all don't get mad at us. But kind of frankly, we kind of don't mind the heat, because we do cook well with some heat, but yeah, our schools, we had hiccups throughout the entire week. I didn't get a check in on yesterday,
again, we are where we are, and we love to announce all the time that, you know, we stay ready so that we don't have to get ready. And that's when these things come into play. Tyler Perry, baby!
Woo! What'd he do?
Forbes magazine reports that homie made it to 1 billion. He is a billionaire.
Bless his heart.
OMG.
And yes. Bless his pockets. Okay, go ahead, bro.
All in all that the overflow will bring about, Tyler mm-hmm. Perry mm-hmm. went from sleeping in his car to now, oh man, he has empowered and given jobs to multitudes of people. Part of the thing I noticed when looking at the breakdown of his $1 billion, Forbes does that. The first things that they mention is his 100% ownership of his product. Mm-hmm. And I know personally a number of conversations that I've been in with filmmakers and writers. You know, I learned that this guy found his niche.
Mm-hmm.
He found a group of people, as if we want to call them all intelligently broken or not, but mm-hmm, mm-hmm. he found his niche that speaks to that particular audience that constantly wants to watch and support his sitcoms. Mm-hmm. And that has made him very much so wealthy. Mm-hmm. I know a lot, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, criticism around it, you know, and him not having other writers and how it could be so much better and blah, 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 and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And
wait a minute, hold up. So first people were complaining about the particular demographic of folks he was
mm-hmm.
marketing to, and now they're complaining about he don't have enough people writing.
The writer's conversation was always at the table at the same time of the text, right? Mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. the idea of the back, you know, and how, you know, dwindled. But then again, I say for us that are talking, and this is a very, very, very important thing. The reason why I highlight this is not at all to throw shade, because I am super excited mm-hmm. to know he has done this, and I'm next in line. Because
mm-hmm.
I refuse to sleep in my car anymore. I'm breaking through the barriers.
You don't have to sleep in your car. Go on over to my house and stop playing.
I know.
You be one more refugee. Just stop playing. Because you know my people make room for you.
I'm saying that to say we think everybody is thinking and liking what we like.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that, and I've said this before, you know, the nine or eight or maybe 12 people in the classroom that were doing very well mm-hmm. and did their own homework.
Mm-hmm.
The other 23 were asking you, let me see your homework.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
those 23 are still out here. And those mm-hmm. 23 have mm-hmm. given birth to other 23s. And, mm-hmm. and so you're thinking that everybody is the 12. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case. Everybody mm-hmm. is not interested in jogging their brains. Some people just like the lesser thought through, you know, I don't have to think too hard to get to the point and laugh about it, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So I think that was misunderstood, or that is, well, to me, that is an understood conversation that we need to see. And I parallel that to Trump voters.
Okay.
I parallel that to that because people are really missing it, that there are people out here that think and act and appreciate who this number 45 is,
right? And they've been out here. And this is their turn,
yep,
for their tribal leader,
yep,
to lead them to freedom,
because yep,
all politics is tribalism. Yep. Let's be very clear.
Yep. And that,
so
and that's exactly
I'm in full agreement that. But that was my thing about with Tyler Perry and the current president is that people are jumping on board to criticize something. However, if you stop at the criticism and you don't put out what it is that you think is better or mm-hmm. should be seen or should be in office, then you got to be quiet. Because here's the thing, both, and I hate to even have to like put them in the same group, but I'm going to, both Tyler Perry and Donald Trump, current president, both of them are doing what they do.
Yep.
Donald Trump is a really good crook. And he's consistent with his crookery. Okay? Like, yeah. I don't know why anybody, like, there is, at this point, there is nothing that should surprise the American people worldwide with regards to what is being done or not done in the White House. Yeah.
None.
Should be no surprise. None.
All you need to focus on is how you're gonna elevate the people
what,
that think
what you
and
got
be
next.
Like you.
Yeah.
And to do the things right. Right. You know, everybody not a Shonda Rhimes, everybody's not into Barack Obama.
Right.
And I think we got caught up in thinking that that's the way we all should think. I'm learning mm-hmm. that. I'm constantly embracing that as we continue to produce shows that I think everybody should be listening to.
Mm-mm.
But it Mm-mm. just doesn't happen that way. So, but moving into today's show. And
Okay. Come on with it then. Because, you know, I'm on a time frame. Come on, sucker.
Suffering in silence. You just never know.
Yes.
Suffering is tough.
Yes.
I wonder how long, speaking of those two people that we just talking about, I wonder how uh-huh. long they felt this, they were suffering, right? And couldn't, you know, and the silence that I'm referring to is that which everybody knows, right? You know, meaning not telling anybody. But there's also a silence that I've uncovered that exists in the silence of not knowing that you're suffering. There's a deafening to the person who is actually experiencing the suffering that exists. And I want to believe this even more as I engage with my own challenges. And some people have aligned this with depression. And not mm-hmm. understanding and not having it labeled, tagged. But some of us are suffering in multiple ways that we don't understand. We've been conditioned to believe where we are is where we should be. I.e. some are staying in abusive relationships and physical, mental, emotional, because this has been the calling that they feel mm-hmm. has been brought to them, you know, and this is what they've always attracted. And that's a silence that is really deafening. It's a dumb deafening. And I just wanted to really highlight some of that, that many may not think about, right? Mm. Also, how can you, that silence that you just don't talk about, right? We know that one. We know that, look, I don't know how I'm gonna make it. I don't know how I'm gonna make these ends meet. But nobody else knows, right? You don't open up your mouth. You don't go to ask anybody, listen, you know, I need help with this. And part of it could be you don't ask because one, you really don't want to have to ask anybody because you've exhausted the people that you've asked, you know, maybe you've asked all the people you want, you can ask, you know? And so, now you're in a state of, I can't keep asking, and you know, people, and then you don't want to be criticized or judged, right? You don't want to put yourself in a vulnerable space to where you are now being criticized or judged. You might even have those people in your space who like to always bring it back up. I got a couple of those people who like to bring back up what they've done for you. They do it. Some of them do it directly. Well, I gave you this, or I gave you that, or they'll tell somebody else what they did, mm-hmm. And it just frustrates you, and it mutes you, and makes you not want to ask anyone else. For men, I've heard a lot of men growing up saying it's a level of pride to go through and just figure it out, you know, and not feel the need to ask. So that's the silence again that I think we're all typically aware of. And then you have that other one that I don't think we're all too aware of, which is that one that is deafening to our own self, staying in positions, staying in spaces And not realizing that you're not even realizing you getting, you know, hand-me-downs when you should be receiving, you know, the beginnings. Oh, you are really chewing and chomping up over that.
No, you know what I'm doing? My mother asked me for her, usually her takes tea. Usually she takes tea a little later, but because I'm leaving out the house earlier, she asked for her cappuccino earlier. And my mother needs to put marshmallows in cappuccino. So I'm not sure why. And you know, I am so against it, but I'm just like, my mother is 88 years old. If she want a daggone marshmallow, let her have her marshmallow and shut up. Okay.
She is not going to suffer inside.
And so I caught myself being slightly quiet, but then I was like, somebody going to just have to know what my morning routine is. I take care of my mama. Yeah. Thank you.
Very good. Mm-hmm, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you hear marshmallow paper. Okay.
Do you see any of that? Right. And have you gotten into a point where you've, you know, suffered in silence?
The suffering in silence, I do understand. I believe I can go back in my memory bank and recall when I was actively engaged in a quiet protest or quiet plea or I was quiet about some stuff. Mm-hmm. I now am at the point in this here life where I will go ahead and tell you what I need or go ahead and ask. And even if it's the same folks I'm asking, I'm at this point now where I'm like, but if I'm drowning, and I went out and I thought, if I went and got some swim lessons and I'm still having trouble with the swimming and I'm starting to drown, or I got the swim lessons, mm-hmm. but the riptide changed and I wasn't aware of currents and all that, that's something different, but I'm still drowning. I need help.
How did you get there?
Part was because before the suffering ever came along, I just was never communicating to people that I actually needed help, because it was this thing like, oh, I can figure it out. Oh, I can do it myself. Oh, I don't want to bother anybody. Oh, shoot. By the time they helped me, I would have been done. You know, like all those were factors for me not communicating. Like, I'm going to just tell you now I need help. And so for me, my asking for help now is like a team approach. Like, it's a collaboration. I look at it like there's no such thing as a solo artist, because there are always people along the line who undergirded what you were doing as an artist, yeah. whether that was somebody who played the accompaniment or somebody who warmed you up or somebody mm-hmm. who helped you with supplies or whatever
put the track format together.
Mm-hmm. Right, there's always somebody who was part of your production team. Yeah. So that's what I look at it like now, is that I'm about to embark on something in my life. I don't even know what it is, but I know I'm gonna need a production team. My production team are people that have, you know, sound judgment, who can catch me when they know I'm about to go into that space that you're like, you know what? Mm-mm, that's mm-hmm. not your space right there. Mm-hmm. You know? So now I make sure I have some people who can check me, and I'm okay with the fact that they might not check me the way I want to be checked, but I know I'm gonna get checked, or people who know me well enough to say, okay, we haven't heard from you. Does this mean you're about to become a hermit? Mm-hmm. Let me check in mm-hmm. on you. You know? So it's, to me, it's a proactive measure ahead of the game, because if we are tracking what happens in our lives, there are highs and there are lows.
Yeah.
And we all know that at the highs, everybody is up there high-fiving us.
Everybody right. around there.
And at the lows, well, you on your own. Well, to circumvent that, I put people in place that I'm like, and this is not about venting. This is not like, and even that, like if I've vented to you in the past, I've now apologized and moved on, because venting did not help me
mm-hmm.
as much as I thought it did. You know how people are like, well, go ahead, just get it out. Just vent. But then I found out I had like about 5 folks I had to vent to before I even did something on one subject. Mm. So then I was like, that's a whole lot of time being wasted. Mm. Now I believe I have people in place that are my production team, you know, mm-hmm. For example, and this is not quite suffering, but it's just that proactive measure that I've been able to do. We know that I can create some stuff.
Yeah.
But we also know that I can leave some stuff undone, mm-hmm. as well as wait to the last minute, as well as rush on the production. I mean, on the inside of it, where it said like, okay, how is it presented? We know I can do all that stuff, but now I got people in place. I'm saying, look, I'm about to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna need your help here. Now, here's the other side of it. If you got people who keep talking about, like, that's what happened the last time you did, and you're starting ahead, you're asking for help before you get to crisis mode, then you got to get rid of that person.
Yeah.
You just got to. Mm-hmm. But if you're telling people you need help before crisis mode, I'm going to need you to, I need to check in with you. Oh, I need an accountability partner.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what I'm doing. So that, and then when you say you need these things, you are able to balance between the fact that somebody might be coming in who you think is supportive, and they are, but they're coming in with another angle because for whatever other things are in their view, you know, yeah. what I'm saying? So you can be sensitive, but you can also listen and say, okay, hold up. You're mixing up apples and oranges. I just need you to tell me about the apples, right? Yeah. But when we're doing that ahead of the game,
yeah.
we can bank on the fact that there's going to be a mountaintop experience, mm-hmm. and there's going to be a valley experience. That in between those two is where we make sure that we have the right team in place for the next thing that we do.
Having that undergirded, having that team right. in place. Yeah. So right. that,
like, yeah, I just look at everything like production,
which is a great,
we about to put on a show.
Yeah, you're living life right. is a production. Life is,
right. Including, including things like management of your time, or if you're having an issue right now with the idea that your child is still at home and you feel helpless with this whole school thing, then you see, before school started, you should have had some people in place. But if you don't, that's where you get some people say, hold on. I need to take advantage of some support systems. Okay, my school has a social worker. The teachers have whatever it is, so that it's not, well, I thought this was, I didn't know. You know, like, we got people in place. Or I'm going to get somebody who comes and takes this shift in my house because I need 30 minutes to go walk.
Yeah.
I need a break. Mm-hmm. I need to take care of me so I can take care of somebody else. So I look at it like, that's where I am now, is I look at it like it's a production. Because Lord knows, I did have those moments where I was trying to take on too much. I was trying to do too much for everybody else. And that was also a thing of it, letting go of the stuff that did not have anything to do with what it was I felt I was called to do at that time. And people, we got to know what we're called. We got to know our purpose.
At that
you
time.
You got to know your
purpose. Can you say that, right. that part right there, that at that
yeah, term, you got to know your purpose at this time
this
in your life.
At this particular season, quote,
right.
unquote.
In your and life. What it doesn't mean.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, my cousin's here.
Hey, okay. Cousin, come on.
No, hold on. I'm going to open the door and let her know I'm a coming.
Okay.
Because if I switch over, yeah. But you got to let, you got to be clear that.
See, we talked about her, so we knew she was on her way anyway. So
yeah, you got to be clear that about knowing what it is you're striving to do,
mm-hmm.
what you're called to do. And from there, you begin your production. You get your folks in line.
That makes it
this season here of fall and school. What do I need in place? I'm working from home. What do I need in place? You see,
I feel like that is that's a really good tool for those of us that are listening to have some things in place prior to the suffering. We know that suffering is part of life, right? And I think that's the embracing part. We understand that suffering is a part of being an existing being in this space, and so to think that you're going to be without suffering is foolishness.
Right.
To prepare for it and then have some mechanisms in place. I think that's a good thing. But when you're in it and say you don't have it and you haven't prepared for it, the other thing is what I call into play is be willing to put on the courage. Have the heart. Have the heart to position yourself to, even if it doesn't, you don't get the response. Oh, I don't, maybe you get the, I don't have it. You might think they have it and they say, I don't have it alone, or I can't do that for you, or I can't take you there, or I don't think you know, I don't think that's a good idea, you know. Even if it's a no, you still have done something amazing by getting the courage in order to even experience the no. And I feel like that moves into another opportunity for the future, and to keep trying. Suffering in silence is not good. And I feel like those of us, I didn't get it to really go into those of us that need to be more aware of those that might be suffering in silence. But there is a way of being a barometer for those that might be suffering in silence. And I feel there is some room for us to talk about that, being that conduit. Think about that. Listeners, this has been the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. I'm Vessel.
Camille Vron.
And we are so delighted you decided to stop in and take a listen to us. Have a great weekend. It's Friday.
Stay safe, y'all. Stay safe.
Please be well. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow with Vessel and Camille Veronica. We appreciate you listening and hope you'll follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You'll find us at The V-Spot Radio. If you want to send us an email, email us at vspotradio@gmail.com. We love to hear from you and we love your feedback. Please let us know of topics that you're interested in hearing from us. Thank you.